All right, we'll take care of that. Well, praise the Lord. Another Sunday to worship the Lord and to gather together with God's people. It's always a blessing to look forward to and a good way to start off the new week. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Thinking about dinners and suppers and food, I want to speak to you tonight on having supper with Jesus and the great supper invitation that he talks about in Luke chapter 14 and verses 16 through 22. Luke chapter 14 and 16 through 22. And if you found that, would you just stand with me and I'll read the scriptures and we'll have prayer together and ask the Lord to bless his word tonight as we've opened it. And verse 16 says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Now let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. We thank you for meeting with us, Lord, as you have promised. We thank you for the great invitation that you have given to each of us. And we thank you for providing for our salvation and for living for us in these days. And we thank you for the hope of heaven. And we pray this evening, Lord, that you'd help us to open our hearts and minds to your word, and that we would allow your word to speak to our hearts. Help us to appreciate all the blessings and the graces that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A great supper. The Bible talks about this great supper. Use the word great in verse number 16. And of course, a great supper means that there is great preparations. Great suppers just don't happen. Amen? Amen. It'd be nice if you just say, you know what, we're going to have a supper in January. It's going to be a great supper, and we'll just mark it on the calendar. Everybody just show up. Doesn't happen that way, does it? You have a great supper. There's a lot of preparations that go into it, a lot of plans. Then you got the invitations. You know, after the preparations, then go the invitations. And usually invitations go, you know, you're expecting a response. You're expecting to see how many are going to respond to the invitation so that you can plan accordingly. But in any event, Jesus tells this story about a great supper. And similar fashion, he gives out invitations. And of course, there's only one of two responses you can really give to an invitation. You either say yes or you say no. That's basically what it comes down to. Even though, as we've read in this parable, this story, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and that's what all a parable is, actually Jesus tells 3 stories in a row. And this is the third one, talks about the supper. And even though people make excuses in this story, basically what they're saying is no. But they're trying to tint it in a way that doesn't seem so bad, and that somehow that the person that has made the preparation and the person that's made the invitation is going to understand that they can get by without me. But we see the preparation. And it always precedes the invitation, as we said in verse number 16. And he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade, or he invited many people. And so we see in the scriptures that even in the book of Genesis, in the beginning of beginnings, that God created this beautiful world and he made all the preparations and then he made man to enjoy it. We have to enjoy the orderliness of God. God is not the author of confusion. Amen? Sometimes the holidays are a bit confusing. And sometimes God doesn't always get all the glory in the holidays. That's for sure. But God made everything perfect in the beginning. And then when everything was ready, then he made man to enjoy all that he had made. And man is actually the highlight of his creation. Made in the image of God, made he man. And he prepared the food chain for man, prepared everything that man would need. You know, it's interesting the conversations that you can have with children. They are very inquisitive by nature. And I think my grandson Grayson is probably going to be an explorer. He's all over the house. I mean, he's like, you wind him up in the morning and he's just off and running. He likes to explore. He likes to go into every room. He likes to reach for everything that he can reach. He's just inquisitive. And he shakes something if it makes noises. If it doesn't interest him, he'll just throw it in, you know, somewhere else. You got to watch him all the time. He came down the stairs this week for the first time. It was a new experience for him. Usually he slides down on his belly, but this time he just went over and over and over. And all I can remember is Lori was screaming, "Get the baby!" And she froze. And then Dave ran to the bottom and rescued so he didn't hit the bottom step. But he, you know, children are very flexible that way. I don't know what it is, but usually they can fall down a flight of stairs. Anybody here, as a child, as a baby, that you remember being told that you went down a flight of stairs, amen, and survived? My brother Chris, he was the baby of the family. And he had the stroller. And for some reason, we put him in the stroller in the house, and even though the stairway to the basement was open from the kitchen down to the stairs, that door was open. And he went down those stairs in the stroller. I mean, it was probably gave him such a thrill that he's been riding motorcycles since he was 20 years old. Not once did he go down. Not twice did he go down. Three times he went down those stairs growing up in a stroller, and not just straight down, I mean rolling all the way. And he survived. I think he's okay anyway because of it. But God made all things for man. He made all the preparations that man would need to live in this world. And then, of course, came the day that he made Adam and then he made Eve. And we see God's preparation also in the plan of redemption. The promise was made and fulfilled. And a salvation was provided. And all the grace is offered before man even came into existence. The Bible says Christ Jesus slain from the foundation of the world. It's hard to imagine that the preparations of God for salvation came long before even this world came into existence. But according to the Word of God, that's exactly the way that God planned. And to me, that's amazing. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, Christ Jesus slain, before there ever was a world in the mind of God, God had it all planned out. And he knew that man would fall, and he knew that sin would come into the world. And yet he knew that sin must be paid for, and that love would prevail as he would offer himself a sacrifice for man. And so, before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You know, it's natural to make preparations on special occasions. Parents prepare, especially for that first child. The excitement is always there. Usually it means maybe painting a new bedroom or getting new items. And even long before the child comes, start stacking those diapers in the corner or in the wherever it is they stack them now. I don't know. I'm a little rusty on the subject. But preparations for the baby. And all that the baby will need, and all the plans are made. And yet our Lord also makes preparations. And he has made plenty of preparations for all of us that know Christ as Savior. Because he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Amen? I often wonder, what is that place going to look like? You know, we heard that we had that 3-day or 4-day messages on heaven from Brother Paul over in Pennsylvania, Paul Fedena. And you know, after hearing about heaven 4 or 5 times in a row, it does get your blood circulating. Makes you really look forward to that place. And you wonder what that place is going to be like, but we do know it's going to be prepared, especially for us in mind. And so our Lord made the promise of those preparations before he left this world, as he said, I go and prepare a place. And so not only is the Great Supper have great preparations, but we see next in this story the great invitation that's given. And many were invited after all the preparations. And so invitations always follow the preparation in verse number 17. And send his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Supper time is a wonderful time when everything's ready. Sometimes I look at Linda and during the holidays, and it's just before we get ready to eat, and I can see her, she's checking out her list in her mind, and then she has this smile on her face that, okay, we're ready. We could pray now. But invitation follows preparation. And so God's invitation to man is summed up basically in just one word tonight, and that one word is the word come. What a pleasant word of invitation. You think of all the times in the Bible that God uses the word come to us in a personal way. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Come. Our Lord desires us to come to him. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a favorite verse that I like to share with people who hesitate a little bit maybe about that God even cares about them. I love this verse. If you come, God will receive you. Your job is simple, just to come. God's job is to receive you. Don't worry about him doing his job. He is anxious to do his job. Amen? He's anxious to do his job to receive you. No one can do your job for you. Your job is to simply come. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a wonderful portion of Scripture. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I was reading a story about a man and a wife, and the husband never went to church. And the wife was a faithful, not only churchgoer, but a very active Christian. And they both died one day, and the husband and wife both presented themselves at the pearly gates of heaven. And the keeper said, your wife worshiped God for both of you. Now she's gone into paradise for both of you. I mean, you can't put off this thing of the invitation of God. Amen. Sooner or later, it catches up to everyone. But so we see this great invitation in the Word of God. Our Lord desires us to come to him. And this invitation, this word come is given in this third group of stories of people that Jesus talks about in these three parables. And in these three parables, we can find ourselves in any one of them, and they are representative of all men. First of all, we have those that are bidden, those that are invited to this great supper in verse number 17. You know, when I think about this first group, I think about God's chosen people, the Jewish nation of Israel. They were the very first to be invited to sit with God. Amen? They were the ones of the special chosen people. And yet we know they have rejected the Messiah. They're the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. May his blood be on us and our children. They're the ones that accused him falsely. They're the ones that said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not Who is he to say that your sins are forgiven? Who can forgive sins but God? They're the ones that had contention with him. Why does he heal on the Sabbath day? It seems they found fault with everything that he did. And then he's tried to explain to them why it's good to do good on the Sabbath day. I mean, if your animal fell in a ditch, would you leave him there simply because it was the Sabbath day? Of course, the answer is no, I guess I'd rescue him. And yet, all the miracles that he did on the Sabbath day to test them and to question them showed their hypocrisy towards him. But the Jews were bidden first to sit with God. And in verse number 21 of Luke chapter 14, as this invitation continues, he talks about those going into the streets and the lanes of the city. Verse number 21. And as I think of the streets and the lanes of the city, I think of those outside of the Jewish race, the publicans and the sinners. God's invitation now is to everyone. Since the first group rejected his love, since the first group rejected his goodness, now all those outside of the Jewish race are invited. And whosoever will, the Bible says, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen? And so the invitation now is to all. It's interesting the reasons that people give even today for not taking time for God. It's shocking to me sometimes what excuses parents give for not coming to church and bringing their children. And yet they may have problems in their life, and God is the one that can answer those problems and meet their needs. And yet many people today still reject his gracious invitations. But in any event, notice verse number 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And maybe you've grown up in a house that was crowded. I don't know. Our house seemed to be crowded. I can remember everyone taking turns in different bedrooms as far as sleeping arrangements as children got older. My only sister, she had the same room her whole childhood. I guess she was treated special. The boys, we kind of switched around from the basement to one room, and sometimes we had bunk beds, and other times, we just slept wherever we could in that house. But I'm glad that there's room for all at the foot of the cross. Amen? There's room for all. There's always room for one more. We sing a hymn, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. In verse number 23, the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. When I think of the highways and the hedges of this parable, it reminds me of people in all places and all cultures. Highways that lead to people. Amen. Streets that lead to people. Lanes that lead to people. Sometimes houses are obscured by hedges. I know mailmen can, if they don't know an area, they may get by a house on the first day and find out that it's hid behind a row of trees. Amen, Brother Wilbur, isn't that right? Till you get used to the area. But the highways and hedges, to me, speak to me about where people live. Sometimes you have to drive down the highway to get to them. Sometimes you have to drive down a dead-end street to get to them. Sometimes you have to walk past an obscured area to maybe a row of houses that you didn't see before to get to those people and invite them. Give them the great invitation of the gospel. But you and I cannot give the gospel to the wrong person. Amen? There's no such thing as giving the gospel to the wrong person. Sometimes you'd be thinking to yourself, should I give this person a track? Maybe I'm not supposed to. You know what? You can't give it to the wrong person. And very seldom will you give it to someone and they'll say, oh, I am a Christian, thanks anyway. Occasionally that happens. But we also find in this story the sad excuses that people gave for not coming to this great supper. There's been great preparation. There were great invitations were made, and now they start to give excuses in the verse number 18 and 19. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And verse 19, another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. To me, that one is always kind of humorous. He doesn't give any other excuse. That's self-explanatory. I can be excused because I'm married now. But we read about their excuses, and it's not unlike so many excuses that people give today in our hurried world, in our hurried society. Many people do not take time to inspect themselves, how they stand before God, to sit under the Word of God for an hour or two a week in church and fellowship with God's people. And we know that many did not accept the gracious invitation in this story. And you know, it's also true of the great gospel story in our Bible. So many have turned a deaf ear towards that story on this earth. We also know that when Jesus was here, that men conspired to have him silenced and conspired to put him to death. But people made excuses in this story, and all that were making excuses were actually, they were would-be guests. They could have been guests. And that's the sad part about the rejection of the gospel, because when someone rejects the gospel, they could have been a guest. They could have been a Christian. They could be the recipient of the great and wonderful gift of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But our story says they made excuses. And those that decline today decline at their own risk. And we're constantly reminded of how brief life is. I was thinking about last Sunday night. I was once again stopping in my message and saying that how brief life is, and it appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And then receiving news that Mr. Miller's daughter passed away this past week, suddenly, without warning. And shocking, but it's a reminder to all of us that time is brief. Our time on earth is short. And the decision to put off Christ that people make is like the old cliche of walking on thin ice or playing with fire. And a Christian is invited also to serve. And many Christians make excuses for not serving the Lord. They're not going to hold up during that inspection time at the great seat of judgment, when every Christian will stand at the judgment seat and our life is inspected. Our excuses for serving him are not going to hold up. And we are called to be, to further the interest of the gospel in the kingdom of God. This is the third story that Jesus told to this same group. The first two parables were told prior to this. One was about an ambitious guest in verses 7 through 11, going to a wedding. And also talks about the right and the wrong way of inviting someone. The first parable was the story of humility and about someone seeking to be seen rather than letting God exalt you. This person goes to a wedding and sits at the best seat and then is asked to move his seat. And there's the embarrassment. And yet the teaching is go take any seat and God will put you where he wants you to be. And so Jesus is teaching these life lessons to the crowds. And then there was the second story about a feast and a lesson on true hospitality. And Jesus is telling us that in the second parable that true hospitality does not expect anything in return. Sometimes when you accept somebody's invitation, you feel like now I'm obligated. Boy, they invited me, now I got to invite them. That's not real hospitality. Real hospitality is just inviting people just for the sake of having them. Amen? And not expecting anything in return. And serving one another. And then, of course, the great supper that we read about tonight. And to reject his gracious offer is to reject him. And so many treat the offer of salvation so lightly today. People are left to their own way. Sometimes God says, that's what you want. I will leave you to your own way. But it's so important that we treasure God's way. Amen? It's so important that we finish properly so important that we keep on keeping on. Week in, week out, year in, year out, we have a job to do. Raising our children, helping to raise our grandchildren, being an example in the community, being a pillar in the church, the work goes on, and to be faithful. Because one day our whole life will be inspected by our Savior. You think about those excuses. I was thinking about the first one about the fellow that bought some land. Who looks at land at night? I mean, they didn't have spotlights, didn't have electricity. Who in the world would think that that excuse would hold water? Were you going to go out with, you know, a bunch of candles at night and look at some property? But in any event, he wanted to be excused. He stopped to think about it. Couldn't that wait till morning? Amen? Amen? And a lot of people, you know, they cherish their weekends, but, I mean, couldn't they give God 1 hour a week to worship Him? Couldn't it wait 1 hour? Amen? Some folks always got excuses for not being in God's house. And then they call the pastor when their life's falling apart and I'm supposed to mend it, everything, and make it well. Let me tell you something. It doesn't always work that way, does it? I wish I was a miracle worker. I wish I could wave my wand and say, okay, your family is all better now. And even though you've been out of church for a year, you know, everything's going to be all right. A lot of times we reap what we sow. And that's the sad part about rejecting God's gracious invitations. But this man that cared more about land than God's invitation, he cared about investment more than the spiritual side of life. All these folks that made excuses, they all preferred the cares of the world to the desire for fellowship and the desire for fellowshipping with God and the things of God. Like so many today. So many today are so absorbed in their work. They're so absorbed in their self-centeredness and in their hobbies. They have no time for God, no time for prayer, no time for Bible reading, no time for Bible study, no time for self-examination. And sometimes we can just get too busy. If we're too busy for those things, we are just too busy. Amen? We need to take the time for God. I think about that oxen. I guess you could say it's representative of technology, maybe. A self-satisfaction over what God offers. I'm glad that God offers us so much in the gospel. And He's invited us to sit at His banquet feast. And it's just a small measure of what we're going to see one day in the future. Perhaps very soon. I know I keep saying it, but I really believe it. That trumpet could sound at any time as we're living in those perilous last days the Bible speaks about. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And those which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if the Lord doesn't come back quickly, our life goes quickly as well. We'll be standing before the Lord, giving account of our Christian life, on what we did, how we did it, and our motives. And then we get to spend eternity with our Lord in a new heaven and a new earth. It's hard to fathom how wonderful it's going to be. But let us pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together tonight. Father, thank You so much as we have spoken about a sobering message on Your great invitation to this world found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we thank You for receiving us. Thank You for helping us to see that the hard part was accomplished by You. Our part was simply to come. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless our fellowship tonight. And thank You for the hands that have prepared for our meal together, our refreshments. We pray that You'd bless those that are serving us and waiting on us. And thank You for the fellowship that we can have because of You. Thank You, Lord, that You have taken down that wall that has been between us and You, that wall of sin that's been dealt with on the cross. And Lord, thank You for dying for our sins according to the Scriptures. And and rising from the dead and living for us today. May you have your will done in our lives this week as we endeavor to put you first in our life, especially during this holiday season. Help us to walk with you and to be a blessing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.